With Amex Platinum, you can enjoy access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, because skipping the line makes you the star of game day. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
Oh, we are so close. We are 1 week away from the NFL season. That's right. Next Thursday night, week one, it all gets started. We got the college football week one. Start. We got games going on tonight. Welcome back to Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80 alongside Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Let's bring Max Starks aboard here. Steelers sideline analyst also. He's on the call for Penn State at West Virginia. That's on ESPN Radio this weekend. Coverage begins on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. East. Max, thanks a lot for joining us here. I got to say, two-time Super Bowl champion. I'm very sorry. If I was a two-time Super Bowl champion, that's how I would have led an introduction. But tell me here about this quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. Was it ever really a quarterback competition, or did Justin Fields really have to blow Russell Wilson out of the water to have won that job?
You know, I think it was more so the latter. Like, Justin Fields would have had to have come in and really wowed. I think the decision, once you initially took Russell, and picked him up, that was the guy you were depending on to be QB1. And then the opportunity came with Justin after that, with him wanting to move on from, with Chicago wanting to move on from him and elect Caleb Williams. So it just became almost like a double bonus, right? I mean, you look at that room, and to have both of those quarterbacks for the price that the Steelers are paying, that's the cheapest in the entire league. I mean, outside of having two rookies under contract, I mean, I don't think you could ask for a better duo price point wise, which allows for the Steelers. It gives them some cap flexibility and gives them some cap room. But I think Russell was the main engine that was going to drive the car, unless otherwise noted. And I don't think that there was anything there, you know, even with the calf injury and the additional time for Justin. I don't think this was ever one of those things where it's like, oh my God, it's going to be nailed by. It's going to be head to head dueling of each other. I think it was Russell has the resume, he has the mystique, he has the experience, and unless Justin came in and just did something phenomenally well and picked up the Arthur Smith offense instantly, it was going to be Russell's job, and that Justin is a longer play and Russell is more of an immediate play for the Steelers.
Now, Max, I'm going to use the S word here, forbidden S word here, safe. We hear all the time, no spot is safe in the NFL. But is it safe to assume that, yeah, for at least this season, this is Russell's job, or is there a scenario where Justin Fields overtakes him by season's end?
Well, I think there's always an opportunity, Marcel. I think, you know, if you're counting health into the equation, there's always an opportunity for somebody to jump in. But I think the other word is performance, right? Once we get into the season, and especially that first half of the season. So I look at the Steelers season as two halves. The first half before the bye and that post-bye second half push, because the second half is an absolute bear. The toughest schedule in the entire NFL, all six of your division games are in those last eight games, with two games broken up between Kansas City and Philadelphia as your two quote-unquote reprieves of non-divisional play. So I think as we approach that first half mark, how this team looks will also determine how that quarterback position is. But it's always good to have a quality guy like Justin getting the reps that he did in training camp so he can be fast-tracked so that if anything does happen, he's ready to go at the drop of the hat. And I don't think anything is safe, right? Because, like I said, health is just always too big of a denominator. And with the physicality that lies in the AFC North, I don't put that past any player.
We got Max Starks, former Steeler tackle, two-time Super Bowl champion, joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Mike Tomlin essentially said as much. I think it was on the Rich Eisen show. We should expect a Justin Fields package, correct?
Yeah, I think you could very well see that. Justin showed a lot of elite skills. I mean, some of the things that were the hang-ups and why Chicago Bears fans were so up in arms and upset with Justin, I think he really focused on this offseason and during training camp, really cleaning up his technique with his footwork, his body angles, when he releases the football, patience in the pocket, which I'm not going to put all that on Justin. I'm going to put some of the blame on you know, the Bears front office for not equipping him with the right weapons and, of course, having a lot of different offensive schemes to work through. I think when you look at what he had in Pittsburgh, what he has in Pittsburgh versus what he had in Chicago, is night and day as far as the weapons that's available to him at the wide receiver, tight end, and running back dimensions. Plus, I would say the offensive line is upgraded from what he had in Chicago. Now, Caleb Williams, on the other hand, has a lot of those toys that I'm sure Justin Fields would have desired in Chicago, but that didn't happen. And so I think that allowed him to kind of mature more, get through his progressions, and not really have to go one progression and go because the line deteriorated. So I think it allowed him to kind of mature more and allow him to really build on his game. And I thought he looked really good in training camp.
Max, what kind of changes to the Steelers offense should we expect to see under this new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith? Obviously pretty run heavy down there in Atlanta, and there are a couple pretty good running backs up there in Pittsburgh. So what kind of changes is he implementing that we should expect in 2024?
Well, I think the thing you have to think Tennessee, not Atlanta. Atlanta was a tough failed experiment, and the same ideals carried over from Tennessee. He just didn't have the personnel to get it done. And I think what you can expect here is multiple tight end sets, a lot of different personnel groups, and an intent to run and set up the play action. You know, his big mantra was physicality. So expect a physical nature, a time of possession style of game to beat teams down. And I think that's what the mindset is. That's how it's looked. And the physicality that was in camp was apparent with, you know, the number of fights that broke out due to some of the physicality tests that were placed in front of them. So I think you could expect that and more of a throwback to old Steelers early 2000s brand of football.
Max Stark, Steelers sideline analyst. He's also on the call on ESPN Radio this Saturday. Coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. East for West Virginia hosting Penn State. Joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Max, tell me why Penn State might be on upset watch this Saturday afternoon. Can you make a case?
Well, I think I can always make a case. I mean, once again, environment matters. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, you saw last year in the Penn State game, very tight game in the first half, and then Penn State pulled away in the second half because, you know, home crowd, a little bit of momentum can really shift the fortunes of a game. And I think here, coming into West Virginia, first time since 1992, there's a reason Joe Pod did not want to put them on the non-conference schedule for the longest time, was because they knew that this was a team that could upset them. And the last couple of contests got closer than comfort for big brother Penn State looking at West Virginia. Now, I think they bring a very physical brand of football. You're going to test the edges of this team because your two top pass rushers, Adisa Isaac and Chop Robinson, aren't there anymore. Those are your leading sack guys, so you're going to really depend on Abdul Carter moving from linebacker down to defensive end to see if that position switch can help him. And then, of course, Smith on the other end to really pressure the edge. But I think the other thing that you're bringing back, for West Virginia, you're bringing back all three of your leading rushers from a year ago, and you were third in FBS in rushing yards per game at over 229 yards a game average. So expect that physical nature between Garrett Green and White and the other running back. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But those three, that trio, averaged over 750 yards over the course of a season. So expect a very physical-natured game. And does Penn State stack up for that? That's going to be the question. Can they hold it? Can Drew Aller make the jump? Because him and Garrett Green aren't that far off from passing. You're talking about 2,600 yards from Drew Aller as a freshman. Garrett Green threw for over 2,400 yards. But you add the other dimension of Garrett Green's legs and over 770 yards rushing. That's where I think if you're West Virginia, you have to keep this game tight and you have to control the line of scrimmage and control time of possession to pull out a victory.
Just kind of sticking with Penn State here because they've got that number 8 ranking. We got a brand new Big Ten here this year, but when you look at their schedule, they got off kind of easy. No Michigan, no Oregon. Like, they got at USC, but Ohio State at home. How important is it for them to start this season off hot against West Virginia, even in a non-conference game? Or can they afford to lose this game and still make a push for that college football playoff?
Well, here's the question, Marcella. Do you want history or do you want reality? That's the question. Because I think when you look from a historical perspective, Penn State doesn't do well against top teams. And what's the one thing that always hinders James Franklin from always being in the top conversations for top coaches is because he can't beat Ohio State and Michigan. And so you still have Ohio State on there, and yes, you take out a Michigan, but then you insert a USC and a cross-country USC game, and you say, are they substituting for the Michigan loss that would normally be on the schedule? And that's where I question. So if that's the case, saying those are just two already losses, you can't afford a third loss and it be a non-conference loss. So you have to win that. You have to start fast. You have to get as many wins as possible in games that you're supposed to be the winner in, right? Because that's what goes to giving you the momentum and the confidence. And the Penn State teams of the past have always wavered on that confidence, because when you do play those type of games and those physical nature games in the Big Ten, you can lose confidence really quick, because you're always like, well, we're just playing for third. And, third's not that bad. Maybe third this year is going to be in a 12-team playoff. Maybe they do get a little complacent with that. But I think you have to take this game very seriously, because, like I said, the first half was completely close, and you pulled away in the second half. Neil Brown knows that. And Neil Brown now has a group that he feels very confident in, and they're going to try and make sure that he really emphasized physicality at the point, proper hand placement for their linemen, because they felt like that was the one area that was lacking a year ago, and they're going to be at home. They're going to be really excited about opening their season at home against a team in Penn State. And plus, like you said, history. It's been over 30 years since the last time Penn State has traveled down to Morgantown. So you better believe the locals are going to be liquored and fired before a noon kick. They're going to be ready to rock and roll and tear the house down.
All right, Max Starks, before we let you go here, you're on the call in West Virginia. West Virginia hosting Penn State. It's a noon kickoff, ESPN Radio. And then when that game ends, it's a 3:30 kickoff in Gainesville, Gators and Canes. Max, of course, one of the many things you and I have in common, we're both University of Florida alum. So how fired up are you for a little Gators-Canes action to get going?
Man, I can't tell you how excited I am, but scared at the same time, because you and I both know, John, whoever wins that game is not going to be the head coach by the end of the season. So that's what's on the line for both of these. Is it Napier or is it Cristobal? And I'm hoping that Napier can pull it off. I really like Coach Napier and the culture that he's tried to establish there. It's always tough with regime changes in Florida. We haven't had that consistency for a while. So I'm hoping that he can turn that corner. And we all know that quarterback really makes the difference. Can Graham Mertz be that guy and turn the corner in year two at Florida? That's what I'm hoping can happen. I mean, we lose Etienne to Georgia. That's a big blow. But I think we're getting Johnson back, and what is at stake, and especially for that Florida State rivalry championship, because all three of us play each other, I think you have to have this game. You have to have it. It's in Gainesville. I know that the Gator Nation is going to be rocking. The Swamp is going to be electric. I can't wait to see that game, but I'm really excited, and I believe the Gators can pull that out. And that would be a good feather in Napier's cap towards goodwill for getting off to a good start this season.
Max Starks, two-time Super Bowl champion. You can hear him on the call here on ESPN Radio Saturday, coverage beginning at 11:30. Great job, Max. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Amber and Ian.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Coming up next, we'll get you an update on what's going on with the Colorado Buffaloes and North Dakota State. Plus, big news day in the Bay Area. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and money lines, all from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Untuckit or Allbirds. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Untuckit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
The Niners and wide receiver Brandon Ayuk have finally reached an agreement on a four-year, $120 million extension.
He ends up getting what he wants, and he has to stay with the team he believes gives him a better chance to reappear in the postseason.
Big news day for the 49ers. The 49er fan is very pleased as Brandon Ayuk and the team come to terms on a four-year extension worth $120 million in total. This is Amber Neen on ESPN Radio alongside Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Quick update here on what's going on in Boulder, North Dakota State, the Bison. They have a 20-14 lead over Colorado late in the second quarter, and Colorado has not been able to get a single stop yet, Marcel. Here is North Dakota State's drives for the game so far. Field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal. They have the football now. They are deep in their own territory. The last two possessions for Colorado, Colorado had to punt, and they got stopped on downs. Now, when they got stopped on downs, Marcel, that was Dion and Colorado going for 4th-and-1. The score was 17-14 at the time. It's 20-14 right now. They went for 4th-and-1. They got stopped on their own 34. I mean, that tells you right there. We're early in the second quarter at that point, and Dion's telling you, I have no faith in my defense being able to get a stop.
Now, and also, this is not – we hyped up North Dakota State a lot in previous segments, but, like, this is not a team that at the very least you're going to just push around. You're not just going to run straight into their face and expect them to give on 4th-and-8. Like, this is what they want to do. They want to grind it out, physical slugfest. So, as far as I'm concerned, nothing has changed from Colorado – since last season. And I get, you know, it's week one, and I think they'd struggled in a game or two that they won last season early on and turned it up late. So, like, ultimately, you trust your stars. You trust the Shadours and the Travis Hunters of the world to lead you to victory. But, man, this is football right now, and I see a little too much flash and not enough muscle, not enough flex. Too much flash, not enough flex.
So it seems that. Oh, okay, that's you own that phrase? That's yours. All right. It seems like there is there's certainly news to, or at least reason to rejoice in the Bay Area as Brandon Ayuk is going to remain with the 49ers. Four-year extension, $120 million, $30 million average annual value has him tied for fifth most in the NFL as far as average annual value among wide receivers. And the general consensus as this deal, Marcel, was announced almost 3 hours ago. The general consensus is that this, and I believe Adam Schefter alluded to this also, this is the deal that's been on the table. Nothing has changed. So Brandon Ayuk eventually realized that, okay, if I don't want to go play for New England, you know, if I don't want to go play in an unstable quarterback situation, or at least an unknown quarterback situation, on a team that is likely going to be very bad, whatever reason Cleveland didn't work out, whatever reason Pittsburgh didn't work out, if I'm going to go to San Francisco, I'm going to need to come to their number. And it also makes you believe, though, Marcel, that Brandon Ayuk and his people, they were being unrealistic. Because if this is the number, if this is the deal that's been out there, this is a very fair deal for Brandon Ayuk.
I think it is, and ultimately, I think what we saw out of San Francisco, out of the 49ers, was they said, okay, well, if you think you can get more, go get more. Go get more. And I think that, you know, Ryan Williams, who negotiated this deal with Athletes First, I think what probably happened here is, you know, he said something along the lines of, Brandon, I can get you the money. Don't even trip. We'll get you the money. We're Athletes First. We'll get you the money. But do you want to take that money and go play with a rookie quarterback or Jacoby Brissett in New England? Like, are you willing to play 9-8 ball for the next 2 years in Pittsburgh? Do you want to toil away in Cleveland? Because San Francisco knew the answer to that. They knew the answer was hell no.
Yeah.
You going to leave here? How many? You've been to 2 Super Bowls already. You've been in league like 4 years.
And that would make sense why, if the reports are accurate, which this deal has been on the table for San Francisco, nothing has changed for the last few weeks, it would make sense then that, all right, that San Francisco, not only did they know that he wasn't going to leave, but that Brandon Ayuk, he was likely confused this whole time, not really knowing what he actually wanted.
Yeah, it almost comes off like, man, did you just not want to go to training camp? But like, it was a lot of fuss and a lot of drama and a lot of, you know, distraction to ultimately just take the original deal. And
it was,
you know,
so
I kind
much
of,
drama. It really was.
Like, I get it. You know, you want to hold out. You got to do what's best for yourself. So you want to hold out for as long as possible and hope to get as much money as possible. And I understand that they front loaded it a bit, but like, ultimately, this, it probably could have been solved a few weeks ago. But, you know, he is human just like anybody else. A very wealthy human, but he's human at the end of the day. And he is subject and you know, it's his prerogative to change his mind at the last minute if he so feels like it. Like, if he doesn't feel like leaving is in his best interest, then, yeah, come on back. I'm sure they'd love to have you.
What do you think the reaction's like in Pittsburgh right now? Because it seems like, well, certainly if you go back like a week and a half ago, there was like a 48-hour period where it seemed like it was going to happen with Pittsburgh. And I'm sure the Steeler fan is thinking, hey, it'd be nice to have Brandon Ayuk next to Kenny Pickens. Like, how do you think the Steelers feel right about him? Or even the Steeler fan, they're probably super bummed.
Yeah, probably a little disappointed there. I know that there's a couple Steelers reporters probably glad they don't have to be on the Ayuk alert beat anymore, but you know, this is what happens. This is where your team is right now. Like, you're not a contender, and he wants to contend. Like, it's humbling, but welcome back to reality, Pittsburgh.
Lots of sad yinzers today.
Lots of sad yinzers. That's what they call the Pittsburgh people. James knows. Coming up next, we'll tell you if it's a big deal or not a big deal on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
I'll tell you, this Shedeur Sanders, he stands in there. Oh, mm-hmm. He takes a licking. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. And this Jimmy Horn Jr., he's already got 4 catches, 134 yards. But like I said, Shedeur Sanders, he stands in that pocket. He is not afraid of getting hit. And even when he rolls out, I mean, he stands there. He takes the hit. He is a very good player. He is a tough kid. Colorado is going to attempt a field goal. It's a close one. Looks like it's about maybe 25 yards away. It'll be the last play of the first half. They'll try and cut the lead to 3. But, hey, you know what we do here on Amber and Ian. Let's play a little big deal, not a big deal. Come on now.
right now.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
There we go. I knew it. I knew it. James Steele, producing the show Behind the Glass up there in Bristol. Hello, James.
Hi, guys. Yeah, big deal, not a big deal that Matlack bet on Jacksonville State, and that's what he was telling me about whenever there was a little bit of a delay on the production from Big Deal, Not a Big
Deal. Is worth the mistake, honestly, guys. This is a great one. Jacksonville State, I believe, closed at minus 180 money line, and they're currently down 31-3 at the half, and I took Jacksonville State.
All right, so that's going to be a loser. That's going to be in the loss column.
It's looking bad.
Okay.
Not looking good.
It's a 60-minute game.
That's right. That's why they don't play 30.
As long as we learn.
I don't. I've shown no growth in proof of learning.
There will be no learning. I'm sorry. All right, let's start here. We've been talking about one big contract extension in the Bay Area, but there was another one earlier in the day. Golden State Warriors star guard Steph Curry has agreed to a $62.6 million extension, one-year extension. His agent told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski on Thursday the agreement keeps Curry under contract with the Warriors through the 26-27 season, and he will become the third NBA player, along with LeBron and Kevin Durant, to pass the $500 million in career earnings threshold. Zaz, big deal, not a big deal. Steph Curry extension.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a big deal. Steph Curry, by the end of that deal, trying to see how old he's going to be. He's 36 now. So we're talking 39 years old by the end of that deal. It feels like they just guaranteed he finishes his career with the Warriors. And even in that last year, $62 million, it's be hard to trade for $62 million.
Yeah, no.
It's a lot of contracts you got to aggregate to put together if you're going to send Golden State's way. And going on 38, soon to be 39 years old in that final year, you know, what's Steph Curry going to look like earning $62 million? Now, 3 years, it's not 10 years from now. I think he's still going to be a pretty good player in 3 years. But to me, I'm going big deal because I feel like it solidifies he plays his entire year with the Warriors, Marcel.
I'm also going to go big deal. Is $62 million like the most any athlete, big four sport, has ever brought in?
It's a good question. I think some of the contracts that have recently been signed are more than that. Like, are going to end up being more than
They're
that.
They're going to end up being more.
I think
either
so.
Either way, it's a big deal. Because like you said, it's the greatest shooter of our generation, maybe of all time, ensuring that he ends his career with one team. And especially nowadays, in this modern NBA, where we're seeing so much player movement and so many guys say, oh, okay, well, I want a ring. I want to team up. I want to do X, Y, Z. It is kind of nice just to see one guy say, I'm going to stick it out right here. Granted, sticking out in Golden State is a lot easier than sticking it out in Portland.
Well, yeah, and it's not like, you know, it's not like Reggie Miller finishing his career only playing for the Pacers, never won a finals. Steph Curry's won four of them, and there is something to the idea of being one of those guys that I could reference, like Reggie Miller, like John Stockton, like Dirk Nowitzki, like Kobe Bryant, who played their entire career with one team. Well, Steph Curry, why wouldn't you do that? There is a certain type of panache to being one of those guys, and I don't know if you heard me, he's won four championships already. All right, go ahead, James.
All right, this is arguably the biggest news of the day. There will be a Vince McMahon documentary series that will release Netflix on September 25th. The Mr. McMahon, which is what it will be called, chronicles the rise and fall of Vince McMahon, the controversial businessman and co-founder of WWE, from his transformation of the WWE from a small regional business to a global entertainment powerhouse to the explosive misconduct allegations that led to his eventual resignation. This 6-episode series offers a deep dive into McMahon's life and his enduring franchise. Marcel, big deal, not a big deal. The Vince McMahon documentary called Mr. McMahon on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. This is a big deal. This is one of the most prominent names, figureheads in entertainment, sports, entertainment, whatever you want to classify WWE. You know who Vince McMahon is, even if you don't really like wrestling. I'm not a wrestling fan. I know exactly who this man is. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. Hopefully it is informative. It's not some sort of fluff piece. Like, I want it to be real. That's the only request. I want this to be real.
This is a very big deal. It's a 6-part series, an hour episode each. I am very into this. I am obviously, everybody knows, I am a huge pro wrestling fan. You know, Vince McMahon played a major role in a lot of my happiness as in my childhood. But of course, we all know, or at least the allegations that are out there, very, very gross, a lot of it. So this is an extremely controversial figure. And yeah, I echo what Marcel just said as well. I hope it's no holds barred. I know he doesn't have anything to do with it, so that's a good thing. That means that we should be able to get a very fair and balanced portrayal of his time. So to me, this is a very big deal. I can't wait to watch it.
In the description, it does say it's a no holds barred look.
Good.
So yeah, right. I mean, very, very specific.
I mean, I'm coming off that Steve McNair Untold Stories documentary, and that was a waste of an hour. So,
oh, really?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah. Sadly, waste of an hour.
People from the Tiger King, like the filmmaker from the Tiger King, is involved in it. Bill Simmons, who has done great work on WWE docu-series before, is also involved, so it should be good. Let's move on to college football. Morgantown is gearing up for a huge matchup this weekend. You'll be able to hear it right here on ESPN Radio. Coverage of West Virginia Penn State begins at 11:30 ESPN Radio. Kickoff is at noon. But they're gearing up in Morgantown, West Virginia for this matchup, and the Pat McAfee Show is going to be there. And schools are like shutting down a day early. They're getting an extra day on the Labor Day holiday. Zaz, big deal, not a big deal, an extra long weekend because of this big matchup and the McAfee Show showing up in town.
Yeah, I'm going big deal, of course. Pat McAfee is a Mountaineer, so they are there. They're doing the show from there. And, yeah, they're expecting just incredible traffic that they're shutting down school a day early. You got the long weekend because of Labor Day. That's a big deal to me. Like, I don't think that – I'm a University of Florida grad. I don't think – or at least I don't remember that ever happening where, you know, it's the no school on Monday because it's going to be too crazy, that kind of deal. I like it. It's so college football. I'll go big deal.
I'm going to say big deal as well. Yeah, I have not – I've technically been to Morgantown. My drive from Buffalo down to Miami stopped through it and drove around campus just because you got to, it's West Virginia, man. You have to. It's cool because I appreciate a school embracing like a big time alum. I appreciate the pride that you take in like someone who went to your program, went to your university, who blew up. Yeah, I think it's cool. It's cool. Good for them. Go have fun. Be safe.
All right. So that's one big game that's happening this weekend. Another one is Texas A&M and Notre Dame, and that's where College Game Day will be at this week. And the week one guest picker will be none other than Texas A&M legend Johnny Manziel. Here he is announcing it.
What's up, guys? Johnny Manziel here. As you guys know, college football season is right around the corner, and with that, game day is coming to College Station, Texas, and I'm very excited to announce that I will be the celebrity guest picker on Saturday at 9 Eastern time. Aggieland, we need you guys loud and crazy as we have Notre Dame coming to town. Really looking forward to it, checking something off the bucket list this week. Can't wait. Giggle.
That's a big deal, not a big deal. Johnny Manziel, guest picker for game day this week.
That's a big deal. It's a big deal because, you know, last week, obviously, game day was in Dublin. You're not on a college campus. You don't get that college crowd behind them. So this kind of feels like the real first game day of the season. Yeah. You'll have the college crowd there, and they're going to go nuts when Johnny Manziel gets up on that stage. I mean, you know, forget what he did or didn't do at the professional level. They love him there, all right? He was amazing. So that's going to be a lot of fun, Marcel. I go big deal.
huge deal. And look, they don't call it the house that Johnny built for no reason. Go look up what Kyle Field looked like the year in Johnny Manziel's last year compared to what it is now. Like, it is that because he made Texas A&M about as cool as Texas A&M could possibly be, which isn't very cool. But he did his best. He did his best. I have been to Kyle Field for a big game. I covered Clemson A&M back in 2017, 18. Nothing like it. Nothing like it, man. The press box shook back and forth. They had to give you a warning waiting on your seat. Hey, when we saw the horns off Texas, it's going to shake. Kyle's going to be rocking, man. I can't wait to experience that from my couch. I can't imagine what it's going to be like there.
He's Marcel Louis-Jacques. I'm Jonathan Zaslow in for Amber and Ian tonight. Excellent job there, James. Another award-winning edition of Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Coming up next, Brandon Ayuk. He signed his contract. They got that out of the way. That's another wide receiver off the board. What is going on in Cincinnati? That's next. This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod at checkout.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
North Dakota State leads Colorado 20-17. They are at halftime. That is on ESPN. Big half from Shedeur Sanders. They get a field goal at the buzzer. And I believe Colorado gets the kickoff in the second half. So there you go. That's something to keep us going into the wee hours of a Thursday night. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. And don't forget to hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. I'm at Zaslow Show. He is at Marcel_LJ. All right. So, Marcel, look, you cover the Dolphins, ESPN, NFL Nation. We're both here in South Florida. Everybody knows I'm a huge Dolphins fan. But I don't necessarily have anything to ask you about the Dolphins. I don't think there's anything controversial or anything real interesting going on today leading into next week. But I do want to get your thoughts coming from a reporter's perspective. I'm a dopey talk show host, all right? You're around the team, all right? You know what's going on here. You're a journalist. So CeeDee Lamb a couple days ago, he got his new deal.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk, a few hours ago, he got his new deal. Ja'Marr Chase, he's a bit of a unique situation because he has multiple years left, but he's not happy. He's showing up late to practice. He's not participating. He's walking around in a shirt and shorts. And that comes the day after the head coach, Zach Taylor, said Ja'Marr is back in the facility. He's going to be practicing with us in full. He's ready to go. And that was really weird. And then the next day, that wasn't the case. And Zach Taylor, all right, now he's got to explain himself. I've never heard a coach say essentially to the effect of what Zach Taylor said, which was, I stuck my foot in my mouth. I spoke a little bit too soon. I've never heard a coach, admit that or be transparent like that about what happened. What exactly can you gather happened? Like, there must have been some type of communication breakdown there, because for the coach to actually get in front of a microphone and cameras and say he's going to be practicing in full with us, he's back, and then that's totally not the case. What could have happened there?
Yeah, I have no idea how you lapse in communication that bad. Maybe there was a misunderstanding to where it's like, oh, if I'm in the building, or maybe he asked him, you're gonna practice tomorrow, and he was like, yeah, I'll be here. As in, like, I'll be at the facility. I will be on the practice field, not in pads or practicing, but I'll be present. I don't know. Maybe there was a miscue. Either way, this is I blame the Bengals for this, though. Like, this is the Bengals' fault. I don't care if you got multiple years left on your deal. There's precedent where first-round picks, if you've been performing for 3 years, you get an extension after year three. You see it all the time with quarterbacks. We just saw it with receivers. Saw it with Jalen Waddle. Saw it with Justin Jefferson. So every other, you know, the other big-name receivers in his draft class are getting paid. Ja'Marr Chase's numbers are right up there at the top of the league. Pay the man. What's going on? What's taking so long?
Well, yeah, to that point, what's the point in Cincinnati not paying him? You know, if their rationale is he has multiple years left, okay. Well, when we get to the time that he only has the 1 year left, are you not going to pay him then? Because you could just get this out of the way now, and if you get it out of the way now, you're going to get it at a much cheaper price. You're going to get it discounted as to what it's going to be in the future. So what could the Bengals' actual rationale be to not do this? And by the way, on top of it, the Bengals are totally an AFC contender.
Yeah, they're cheap. That's the explanation. The Bengals are a famously cheap franchise. They are just now starting to exit the cheapness of their history. You know, paying Joe Burrow helps. I thought paying Ja'Marr Chase was going to be the next in line, but no, like this is an organization that makes media members pay for parking when they go to work. Like, of course they're not going to pay their receiver on time.
You
got to
pay for the meal
all.
In the press box for games? You got to pay there in Cincinnati? You got to pay
I would
the meal?
I've been there. I would pay to not eat at that press box, man.
But
I don't like Skyline Chili. I think it's an abomination.
I've never had Skyline Chili. I've never had it. It looks like a trip to the bathroom. I mean, it looks like very involved, you know?
It might be the other one. It might not be Skyline, but it's Cincinnati Chili that you put on spaghetti. And I got there late to the buffet. I got there late, okay. And I thought, oh, man, all the food was gone because it was just meat juice in a bin. And I realized, no, that's the chili.
That's it.
This is the attraction.
This is not something I could have away from home. If I'm going to eat this, I need to be in my home. I cannot be eating it somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. No, I tried it. Not a fan. Not into it. No, thank you. But I digress. This is something where they're blowing it. This is organizational failure because all you're doing is pissing them off. That's all you're doing. The whole point of the draft is to find stars. Is it not? Like, the whole point of your first-round pick is to find a star. What the hell use is it if you're not going to re-sign your star?
Yeah, they're going to keep him, so who cares when you re-sign him? Just do it.
Pay him now. Who else are you paying in Cincinnati besides Joe Burrow?
Yeah, like, we all know they're not going to they're going to let T. Higgins go. So just pay Ja'Marr Chase. Just do it.
Like, it does not make sense to me. And now, you know, I'm over here. I'm pulling up the Bengals cap table.
Uh-huh.
It's okay, you know, they got $12 million in space right now. Cap hits, Joe Burrow, $29 million, T. Higgins, $21 million. They're paying Trey Hendrickson. Beyond that, there's nobody making over $20 million. There's nobody making – that's three players, man. Who else are you paying? Like, what are you saving and scrimping for? This is your guy. This is – it's so monumentally stupid, Zaz. Like, at this point, if you don't pay him this year – let's say you don't pay him, all right? And he says, okay, fine, I'll play anyways because he has to, right? Plays 1,600-yard – 8 touchdown, 9 touchdown season.
It's going to be so much more.
100 catches. It's going to be so – you are going to make him the highest paid receiver in NFL history. And if I'm Ja'Marr Chase, I'm adding a you pissed me off tax onto it.
Yeah.
So it's not enough just to beat Justin Jefferson. I want to blow it out the water at this point because somebody's going to. I promise you Ja'Marr Chase is going to last 3 minutes on the market. And now they do have team control. You know, for the next couple years, he still has, you know, the last year of his, this is year four. He still has year five on his rookie deal. They can franchise tag him once or twice, even though it's wildly inefficient use of money. You might as well just pay him at that point. But let's say if you drag it on that long, what kind of message does that send to the rest of the league? Players talk, man. Listen, players talk. Players are close. Players pay attention. Nobody's going to Cincinnati if they see that's what they do to their star that they drafted homegrown. You think they're going to treat me any better?
Right.
Absolutely not.
And he's the last one. like CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, go back a little bit more, Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, he's the last one looking for that deal. So, Bengals, you're on the clock. I do want to mention here, Marcel, tomorrow night, Amber and Ian on the road, myself, the great Amber Wilson, former running back Rashad Jennings. We are going to be live in Gainesville. We're going to be on campus at the University of Florida tomorrow night. And then Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time until noon, we are doing College Tailgate, the debut of College Tailgate on the road. And that'll be Saturday at 10 a.m. But make sure you catch us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. live from campus in Gainesville.